From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much, Carl Castle. Oh, my goodness. You are too kind. Thank you. We have got a great show for you today. Dr. Phil will be stopping by, so if you've got any problems, he'll solve them. But first, a program note. Last week during our show, Carl recreated a quote from the president of Pakistan, Asif Ali Zardari. He was talking about vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin. It went like this.
Now I know why the whole world is crazy about you.
But President Zardari's comment did not play well back home in Pakistan. A radical mosque there issued a fatwa against him for saying that. They accused him of, quote, indecent gestures, filthy remarks, and a repeated praise of a non-Muslim lady wearing a short skirt, unquote. So, Carl is joining us this week via secure line from an undisclosed location. Carl, how are things in the bunker?
They're okay, Peter, except Dick Cheney keeps hogging the remote.
My advice, Carl, do not aggravate him. But anybody out there who wants to get into trouble, give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is Di Clark from Chatham, New Jersey, which is right next door to Berkeley Heights, New Jersey.
I'm well aware. My home stomping grounds. Why many is the time I would go over to Chatham to stand in front of their 7-Eleven instead of ours. Oh, those were the days.
Yeah, I know. Town.
It is. It's very upscale. What do you do there in beautiful Chatham?
I am a freelance translator and interpreter of French.
Oh, really?
For lawyers and courts.
Can you translate "forget about it" into French?
No.
All right then. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Di, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's Reliable Sources column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Roxanne.
Hello.
Next, say hello to comedian and writer Paul Prevenza.
Bonjour.
Hello, Paul.
Bonjour, Di.
Bonjour.
Also say hello to television personality and the man behind Morocco180.com, Mr. Morocco.
Hello, Mo.
Hi, Di.
It's wonderful to meet you all in person at last.
Di, you're going to play Who's Carol this time. Carol Castle is going to read you three quotes in the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carol Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
I am ready.
All right. Here we go. Here is your first quote.
It's like a big cow pie with a little bit of marshmallow inside.
That was Texas Republican Congressman Louis Gohmert expressing his party's antipathy earlier this week towards what?
To the first draft of the solution to the bailout.
Yes, the $700 billion bailout bill last weekend. Yes, she did it. She's good. Last weekend, leaders of both parties in Congress emerged from a conference room, their ties and toupees askew. They announced they had given birth to a bouncing baby bailout bill. Then on Monday, a bunch of members of the House, both Republicans and Democrats, voted against it. The GOP naysayers said they were insulted by a partisan speech Nancy Pelosi gave right before the vote, and frankly, they may have had a point. This is from the transcript. House GOP leader John Boehner, what a guy. They say John Boehner gets his looks from his dad. He's a plastic surgeon, you know what I mean? And where's Eric Cantor, the gentleman from Virginia? Is your family happy, Eric, or do you go home every night? Thank you very much. It's unclear in the transcript whether Speaker Pelosi then said, try the veal.
She turned to Joan Rivers.
I know. Well, anyway, they made up. They sent flowers to all the Republicans. They told them no, they did not look fat in their off-the-rack sport coats. They were very nice. Now, what do you guys think of it? You know, everybody, it seems, hates it, except everybody thinks that it's absolutely necessary. Why is it absolutely necessary that we pass such an awful bill?
Because that's what we do. I just think it's great how it's cut back on our illegal immigration problem.
How so?
This Wall Street. Because third world countries, people are going, nah, we'll stay here.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. That's
why are we going to schlep all the way over there?
Immigration deterrent.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's an immigration deterrent.
It's a very deft system they got working.
Now, I didn't know all those undocumented workers from Mexico were Jewish.
They speak Yiddish. A lot of people.
All these guys down in Guadalajara, they're going, why schlep over the desert?
Yeah.
Why schlep all the way over there? Why? Learn Spanish for nothing. 700 billion, but for you. No, I got an uncle in the finance business.
All right. Di?
Yes.
Your next quote is from the very beginning of a momentous event that happened on Thursday night.
Can I call you Joe?
That was somebody trying to start something off on an informal note. What was it?
It was the debate between Joe Biden and Moose Sarah Palin.
Yes, indeed. Governor Sarah Palin. Very good. McCain, Obama, who cares? The biggest event of this election was Thursday's VP Smackdown. In this corner, weighing 180 pounds plus 2 pounds of hair plugs, the Silver Fox, the great debater who perhaps goes on a little long, but still, God love him, knows what he's talking about because he's personally met just about everybody worth meeting, from the president of Georgia down to the Joe, the conductor on the Amtrak train who concerns, he totally understands, Joe Biden! And in this corner, Sarah Barracuda, the folksy fox, the gun-toting, glasses-wearing, gleefully glib goddess of gosh darn goodness, Sarah Palin! The debate ended up being kind of a bust. Biden took up the whole 90 minutes with his first answer. And Governor Palin ended up being distracted by a shiny object on moderator Gwen Ifill's blouse.
I think that with the debate, she demonstrated that she's every bit as qualified to be Commander-in-Chief as Gina Davis was when she was Commander-in-Chief. I mean, the reckless behavior, Gina Davis drove off a cliff with Susan Sarandon.
Nonetheless, she ended up in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
All right, here, Di, is your last quote.
The embarrassing thing is that my salad dressing is now outgrossing my films.
That was a famous actor being needlessly embarrassed about his legacy. He died this week at the age of 82. Who?
It was wonderful Paul Newman.
Yes, it was Paul Newman, of course.
I'm sad to say that I once had lunch with Paul Newman, only in the sense that he was having lunch at a restaurant in Poughkeepsie, New York, where I worked at the time, and I was there too.
Wow. Did you go up to him and say hello?
No, I was too shy.
Oh,
but you know
and
what, Di?
That's the coolest thing, Di.
You know what, Di? He's telling that same story.
The reason Di didn't go up to him is because she was eating a salad with wishbone dressing. Now do you feel good about yourself?
The actor, race car driver, devoted husband, and unlikely food impresario was remembered this week as a guy who pretty much everybody loved. What's odd is that, as he himself predicted, as you heard, that since he stopped appearing in movies a few years ago and instead devoted his energies to the food company, which raised money for charity, most young people today probably will think of him as the reclusive, strangely handsome, and possibly fictional inventor of the Fig Newman. Carl, how did Di do in our quiz?
Well, she couldn't do better. She had 3 correct answers. So, Di, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Oh, Carl.
Isn't it nice?
How wonderful that sounds.
Bye-bye.
Bye.